This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about forcing yourself out of your comfort zone and how that can always be a good thing. You always generally want to get yourself out of your comfort zone because once you come back inside your comfort zone, you're going to look around, you're going to go, oh, I'm really glad I did that. You're never going to regret trying something new. You're never going to regret going on a weird little adventure and then coming back around. Like a good example is recently I went to France, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what happened in France, but it was a weird little adventure, to say the least. It was a strange old time. And while I was out there, I was kind of thinking, oh, God, this is a pain in the ass. This. All right, what's going on here? This is a right pain in the ass. And then I kind of got back. And I was really glad that I had done that because it's a little extra thing to add to my list of weird anecdotes and my list of weird little adventures that I've been on. Because the more little adventures that you go on, the more full your own life and as personality kind of become. The more stuff you try, the more stuff you know that you like, the more stuff you know that you don't like, the more that you can accommodate the world to sort of suit you and your needs. So, let's say that you are kind of stuck in your comfort zone quite a bit, to the point where it doesn't even feel that comfortable anymore. It's just what you're used to, right? You know, you're kind of doing the same old thing and every single day, and you're getting a bit bored of it, and you want to try something new. But, you know, the second that you sort of leave the house to do it, you start to think, oh, God, I don't want to do this. I just want to go home. And I feel that all the time. So if I get invited out to a weird part of London or something like that, and for some event that I'm not used to doing, right? I'll be on the train there and I'll be catastrophizing it in my mind and I'll be kind of going, oh God, this is going to be a wreck. This is going to be terrible. I just want to get back. I could be doing so much right now. I could just be at home and that would be all right, you know? And then I get there and the anxiety, the catastrophizing is still sort of there. And it's only once I start getting back that I start to think, actually, that was really fucking good. That was a really good little thing, that. Even if it wasn't like, I'm not saying it has to be the best day of your life or something like that. It can be just be a little thing. It can just be a little nice time out in a weird situation. But, you know, you'll get back home and, you know, you'll take your jacket off. You kind of go, ah, I'm back home. Oh, thank God. You know, and that feeling, even if you didn't really enjoy the thing, that feeling on its own is worth it. Worth doing all that just for that, because it's such a nice feeling coming back inside your comfort zone after you've taken some time out of it. And just to revel in what you're comfortable with. Because being outside your comfort zone makes you realise what your own comfort zone is. Because once you're in your comfort zone, it's hard to sort of see the forest for the trees. It's hard to see what it is that you like and what your comfort is. Because you're just doing what you like all the time to the point where it just sort of feels like it's just a thing that you do. Like, you ever play a video game, right? And you're really enjoying the video game. And like, this is a long video game and you get like, you know, 2/3 of the way through this video game and like the fun isn't quite there anymore. But you know, you need to finish this video game. So you turn it on, you're like, right, let's play a bit of this. And you just sit there like this. There's no more like shocking moments because you know how all the gameplay works. You know the formula, you know what's gonna happen when a cutscene happens. You know what some weird little event or like some twist in the narrative will be. You know, you can feel all this stuff happening. You can see when you walk into a room full of chest high walls that you're probably gonna have a shootout here later and you can sense all of this and you just get a bit bored of it, you know? But you're still in your comfort zone. You're doing a thing that you find comfortable because you like the video game. You know you like the video game, but now you're getting bored by it. So it's kind of like that for life. It's kind of like that just going out and trying weird things. Like say you socialize with your friends, right? And you normally do it in town A. right? And you go to town A and you go to a couple of the clubs there, and then maybe you go to a club late at night, and then you get back at like 1 a.m, right? And that's what you're used to, right? Let's then say that you then go to town B and you start off by having a coffee, and then you go to see a band that you've not really listened to much before, and then you go to like a little bar after that, and then you get back at maybe midnight, right? It's a totally different little thing, but it's still the same general idea of going to a little place, socializing for a bit, going into some place with loud music, and then coming back. But because you're not used to doing that particular type of thing, that's not your comfort zone in that sort of moment. So you just need to try and make yourself sort of feel comfortable in this new place and expand your comfort zone to accommodate this new little experience. And if you do that going to town B thing a few more times, it'll just become part of your just repertoire of little things to do. And then, you know, someone invites you out to town B to do all this stuff, right? And then, you know, at some point, you might invite someone to go to town B to do that stuff, because now you're just used to it, that you could just do it on your own. You could be the person that introduces someone else to it. And then maybe that friend before introduces you to town C. And in town C, maybe you go for a coffee, and then maybe you go to the local library or a museum or something. And then, you know, you go to a bar afterwards and have a few drinks. And then maybe, like, there's a comedy club near there. So you go and take in the comedy club, and then you get back at like 11, right? And that's town C. And you start doing that, and at first you're kind of like, oh, this is a bit of a weird little thing. I'm not used to this. I'm used to doing the town B thing and the town A thing. But go on then, yeah, all right. And then you get back in for the first time, you're like, oh, God, glad to be back. And as you start doing that town C thing more and more, you know, going to the library and the museum and the comedy club and then coming back, you'll start to make that part your comfort zone as well. And then you might invite that other person to town C, and you'll be the one taking around going, oh, this museum has like some really nice stuff in it. I've been here before. And oh yeah, there's this cafe on the green. Yeah, you should go to this one. This one's probably the nicest one. It does the best coffee for the cheapest price. And then, oh yeah, this comedy club. Have you heard this comedy club? I've been there a couple of times. It's brilliant, you know? And you just keep doing that, right? Keep expanding your repertoire of experiences. And the more you do that, the more that you'll just expand your own sense of self, because you'll know where works for you, what doesn't. Maybe town C was something that really worked for you, but town B you didn't really like, so you're not going to go to town B anymore and do that stuff anymore. But you did like town C, and you're already used to town A, so now you've just got two towns, whereas before you only had one town, right? And the more times that you do this, the more times you expand your life experience to accommodate new things and new little ways of life, the more interesting I feel like you'll become. Because, you know, it's not like, because it's something that you can, you know, draw from your sense of experience to maybe tell a little story, or to, you know, put it in the things that you create, or maybe just, you know, even just to remember, so that the next time someone invites you out to that town, you can go, no thanks, I've been there before, I don't like it. So all of those things are perfectly valid. And, you know, it's just a case of, because your comfort zone is only temporarily comfortable, right? And if you get too used to your comfort zone, right, and you live in your comfort zone, you never leave it, right, then it's not really your comfort zone anymore. And the more you abuse your comfort system, your comfort zone, the more it will shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink, to the point where, you know, you'll have very little that makes you comfortable, that makes you interesting, that makes you happy. And like, if you lose your comfort zone, then you're kind of fucked, because you need a comfort zone. Like, my comfort zone, for instance, is like watching Alan Partridge, right? And like listening to the Ricky Gervais show with Carl Pilkington, right? Those are probably my two like most comfort zone sort of things, right? And if I did nothing but watch Alan Partridge and like listen to the Ricky Gervais show, right, I'd get bored of them, because I'd have heard every single joke. And I've already listened to Knowing Me, Knowing You like 5 times, and I've listened to the XFM shows so many times. But, you know, if I just did nothing but listen to that, and I just stayed and kept that as my comfort zone, I was like, this is who I am, this is my comfort zone, and this is what I'm comfortable with, and I just did that, I'd get bored of them. And if I get bored of those things, right, then I need to find something else to bring into my comfort zone. Otherwise, I've got nothing, right? Because everything will just make me uncomfortable, because I'll be sat there bored, and boredom is an uncomfortable feeling. So I feel like if you stay within your comfort zone too much, you will lose your comfort zone, and you don't want to lose your comfort zone. You want to expand your comfort zone and keep trying new things and trying to find new things. Like with music, for instance, a few months ago, I got into 2 separate things. I got into Akala and, like, you know, political hip hop and stuff, and I got into Dream Theater, right? And so I had my little obsession with the Akala and the political hip hop stuff, right? And then I started to get a bit bored of that, right? And so I started gravitating towards the Dream Theater stuff. And now I'm getting a little bit bored of Dream Theater. And I don't have any other little bands that I've found to move on to next, to be my next little obsession. So once I'm done with Dream Theater, I don't know what I'm going to do, because, yeah, they'll all be in my comfort zone. Yeah, sure, I can go and listen to Akala at any point and go, like, he's a fucking genius, right? And I'll be able to go listen to Dream Theater at any point in the future and go, they're a fucking good band. And the same way that, like, my obsessions before, like, I had a big King Gizzard phase and I had a Pink Floyd phase and that sort of thing. So I can still go back to those, right? But if I keep abusing that well of comfort, then it's not going to feel comfortable anymore. Like, I've listened to Echoes from Pink Floyd, honestly, probably like 200, 300 times. And to the point where it's diminishing returns. Like, it's my favourite song of all time. But if I listen to it every single day, would it really be my favourite song? Because I just get so bored of it. And yeah, that's just kind of the problem. You don't want to abuse your comfort zone. You don't want to abuse the things that make you happy, because then you just run out of stuff to make you content with the world. And if you do that, then you're going to end up being quite miserable. So, yeah, you don't want that. And that was basically the video. So leave your comments below about what makes you comfortable, what's your comfort zone. Sorry about the fucking birds, they won't shut up. Leave your comments below about what makes you feel good, what makes you feel bad. Do you like going out and exploring your weird little comfort zone? Do you like that feeling of getting in through the door and going, oh God, I'm so glad to be back, that was a load of shite. But, you know, it's something that I now know not to do for the future. And yeah, just let me know your general experiences. And yeah, thank you very much for watching, everybody. Hope you have a good rest of the day. Take care and bye-bye. Ooh. Ooh. Cool. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozz's Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk a little bit about romanticisation of the past and how a lot of people, particularly from my generation, the sort of Generation Z, they like to sort of go on about, like, how times were so much better in the past. You know that whole joke of, like, kids these days don't listen to Dark Sides of the Moon. I'm 13 years old and I listen to Dark Sides of the Moon. Everyone now just wants to listen to Kesha and Katy Perry and Lu Rong Generation, I think is what it's called. Like the phenomenon of just people going on about, like, a time that they weren't even a part of, as if it was a way better time than it is now, whilst, you know, neglecting to mention the troubles that came from the past. And, you know, even if, let's say, that the 70s or whatever was a perfect time where there was no problems going on at all, right? What good does it do you to just sit there and worry about, like, how times now are just so shit and how back then everything was so brilliant? Because you're never going back to the 70s, right? Hate to break it to you, but the 70s aren't coming back, right? It's just not going to happen. You're never going to get those times back. I mean, when I was sort of 13, 14, I was even one of those Lu Rong generation sort of people. Like, I mean, I didn't even really listen to music from that period. I didn't really like music from that period at the time. But I just sort of looked at, like, you know, pictures of Britain in, like, the 70s and the 60s, and I just thought, oh, God, all the buildings look so much nicer. Everyone just looks so more, like, appealing in, like, their suits and stuff. And, you know, now there's just, you know, just people going around and, like, they don't even care about what they wear. And it's like, you know, look at me. I'm one to talk, aren't I? So, you know, everything back then wasn't, you know, all sunshine and rainbows. And everything now isn't just, like, pure misery. There's a give and a take to it. You know, sometimes stuff is all right. Sometimes stuff isn't that as good as it was. Sometimes stuff is better than it was. So, you know, now, sure, iPhones and, like, social media and stuff, they can cause a lot of problems, right? Like, I don't particularly like, you know, Twitter and Facebook and you know, all this sort of stuff. Like, but, you know, I do go on them, and I almost feel like maybe I'm addicted to them, the same way that probably everyone else is. But maybe we don't want to admit to ourselves that we have an addiction to social media. We just sort of, you know, decry how everyone now is so reliant on their phones. And it's like, you know, you go on a train and you see everyone sort of sat there like this, just do like that, right? And you kind of look and you're like, oh God, where's all the people reading newspapers or reading books and stuff? And you might see one or two that are reading a newspaper or reading a book. And, you know, you'll be looking at your phone as well whilst you're looking at everyone else going, oh, everyone nowadays is just on their phone. So are you, right? And you might be aware that it's all an addiction sort of thing, that we're all there just kind of addicted to this fucking, like, screen that comes and gives us dopamine, because that's what it does. It's got big, bright colours on it. Like, if I show you the homepage, right? Look at all the bright colours. You've got WhatsApp there, big green. You got YouTube, big red. You got, like, Google Chrome. It's got green, red and yellow. You got Discord, big blue, you know? Then you go on here and it's just like, oh, man looks happy on the news. Whoa. And then you got like, oh, what are the London hospitals with the shortest A&E waiting times? Oh, I wonder that, you know? And you know, just so much stuff. There's so much clutter that just impacts your mind and just makes you think about stuff that, you know, it's escapism at the end of the day. You want to try and not think about the general world that's around you. So you think about the stuff that's on your phone. And, you know, because you might... If you are one of these people that sort of looks at, you know, the world, the modern world, and goes, oh, everything was so much better way back then, this is a nice little escape from that, you know, from this modern world that we all live in, even though it's part of the modern world in and of itself. And I don't blame you for that, because I have done the same sort of thing. And in fact, the film that I'm making, Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence, right, is all about this idea of over-romanticization of the past. It's all about Johnny Mozza is a character who is obsessed with, like, you know, the music from that period, and how, you know, back then it just looked like, you know, everything was so much better, and he can't quite describe it, you know, but it's this feeling, it's this idea that everything was better back then, before we had phones and stuff cluttering our brains, and before 24-hour news got us all worried about everything all the time. You know, people just got on with life, and people would have a nice little, oh, hello, Doris, how are you doing today? Oh, not too bad, I've just gone, apparently everyone from the 70s is just from up north. But that is my little imagination of what the 70s was like, right? And I like that little imagination of what the 70s was like. And if I could live in that little fantasy, I would. But it doesn't exist, right? But what does exist is the modern day. And if you try and shut yourself away from what's going on in the modern world, you're never going to be content with yourself, because you won't be able to find a place for yourself in this modern world, right? Because there's stuff somewhere for everyone. There's someone else there that thinks the same as you. And if you just find them, then you can get along and, like, maybe make friends with them or whatever. There'll be little communities that work for you. Maybe there'll be online communities. Maybe there'll be in-person communities. Just try and find something that can give you a little bit of a respite, is I think might be the word, from you know, the miseries of the modern world, if you're so upset with the modern world. Because, like, I understand it, you know. I mean, new builds, for instance, they look a wreck. Architecture and stuff now might feel like it doesn't look as good as it once was. And yeah, sure, maybe we understand the idea that maybe architecture from the past wasn't all that, but a lot of it, we only see the stuff that has managed to last the test of time, which is all the best stuff, right? Which will be the same in 300 years when we look at the stuff that's, you know, survived the test of time that was built today. You know, the bog standard flat number 709 is not going to be the thing that lasts for another 300 years. That's going to be gone. Don't worry about that. That's going the way of the Victorian slum. So that's fine. But, you know, we still have to look at it. I don't like looking at these new builds. I think they're fucking atrocious, right? But they keep building them. They keep building more and more and more of them, right? And, you know, they replace, like, pubs, and they shut down all the pubs, and they replace them with, like, blocks of flats or, you know, clothes shops or vape shops or whatever. And it's just like, that wasn't as good. How's that helping the community? Now everyone just sort of stays at home and just drinks cans instead of going to the pub and drinking there, you know? And maybe that feels like the community's sort of dying, but it's not. Maybe it's changing because the internet has impacted our lives in a tremendous, revolutionary way. It's very hard to say very revolutionary, right? It just is very revolutionary what's going on with the internet and stuff in terms of how it's impacted our lives. And we're adjusting to that, and we're in an adjustment phase. And once we figure that out, you know, I don't think people stop meeting up in person. Like, you know, the younger people that I know, right, like, in my family and stuff, they still go and meet each other, like, their friends and that. They still go out. They go to a skate park and stuff. There's a skate park just down there, right? I filmed there yesterday, right, during the school hours, and it was dead. I'm here now, and it's Saturday, right, and they're all out. They're all skating and stuff. So, you know, people are still going around. They're still having a nice time. People are still socialising and interacting with one another, and everything is still working, pretty much, right? At least in the same way that it was in the 70s. I'm not saying all, like, systemic problems are going to be just solved like that. But, you know, maybe it's a good thing that we're aware of all that sort of stuff now in a way that we weren't back then. And there's this whole idea that, oh, you can't say anything now without, like, And compared to back then, you could say whatever you wanted. And it's like, I feel like you can say more now, surely, because like we have more access to information. I think the only thing I dislike about the internet is, the main thing I dislike about the internet is, say if you're having a conversation with someone and you're trying to remember what something is, right? You can just now go on Google and someone will just go, I'm Googling it. Oh, it turns out it's this. That could have been like a 2-hour conversation there where we tried to figure out what was going on. And, you know, we might have come out with the wrong answer and then we spread the wrong answer to a load of people, right? And then that weird alternate version of reality gets spread and we all get to live on our own little bubbles rather than this one giant bubble that is the internet. And that's kind of nice. Maybe that's me just claiming that I want misinformation to spread across the world. And if that's the case, so be it. But it's just fun because it comes from a place of, like, communicating with one another and developing friendships through, you know, querying the world and not getting the answer straight away compared to if I just go on Google and just go, oh, what's the thing that we're trying to figure out? Oh, here it is. Oh, great. Now what do we talk about, you know? So, yeah, the past, you know, it might have been better than today in some ways. But you know what? I'm only 25, right? I was born in 1999. I'm never going to know for like first-hand experience what it was like in the 70s. Right? Some people will say it's better than now. Some people will say it's worse than now, right? And all I can do is just take all of their bits of experience on board, try and develop my own worldview and where we are, right? And where we're going to go in the future and try and make the best future for ourselves, right? Based on what worked about the present and what worked about the past. So that's all we can really do. All we can do is just try and be the most content with the world that we have, because we're not going to get any other world. We can't just take this world back to the fucking shop and get a refund on it or get a swap for another world. So just make with it what you have. Just, you know, make something out of it. Because if you just sit there and just like sit around going, oh, it's so shit nowadays, everything's so crap. It's like, well, you're not going to be happy anyway, and you're going to shut out this modern world, and even if it's not as good as the 70s, you know, you're just making it worse for yourself. So why do that when you can just be sort of a bit more content with it? And, you know, even if there are problems now, there were problems back then as well. Maybe they're different problems. Some will be the same. Some things will change. Some things will stay the same, and that's fine. That's all right. And we don't need to worry so much about where we are, where we're going, because as long as you're finding a community that works for you and that, you know, you find comfort in and that you enjoy being around, if you find some, you know, oasis in this sea of grey and brown, then you might just, you know, be able to be content with the fact that maybe the 70s was better and we're never going to go back to that time, but we can always see what the present has to bring for us, because, you know, the second best film ever made is still a good film. So, yeah, that's pretty much the video. Let me know your experiences. Were you born ages ago and you grew up in the 70s and the 80s or whatever and you think, like, oh, it was so much better back then? Why do you think it was better back then? Maybe you're the opposite. You grew up in the 70s and the 80s and you think now is way better because X, Y, and Z reasons. Maybe you're from, like, my generation, Generation Z. You were born in, like, the late 90s or early 2000s and you think, oh, God, everything's so crap now. Or maybe you think that we're living in the best time ever because phones and stuff are brilliant and you can communicate with, like, your friends and family even if they move to another country without having to pay out the arse for, like, you know, international calls and stuff. Because that's a good thing. WhatsApp's good. I mean, like, I talked to this guy from Japan, right? Tantris Humble. He does a video sort of like this as well. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to talk to him if it was 1979, right? It would cost us an arm and a leg. In fact, we wouldn't have even met, because he'd just be in Japan doing his Japan business and I'd be in Britain doing my Britain business. And we'd never be able to interact with one another because there's no such thing as Discord. There's no such thing as, like, you know, Instagram DMs. Nothing like that existed back then. You'd have to send letters back and forth and it would be like, oh, dear Tantris Humble, how you doing today? What's going on new with you in Japan? You're not even doing videos because it's 1979. You can't afford to make them. And get the film reels and all that stuff, and then even then you can't share them. So tell me what you're doing in 1979 in Japan. How's it going? All the best, Josh from Britain, right? And then, you know, 3 weeks later, the letter gets to Tantris Humble, right? And he opens it, and he goes, ah, it's a nice little letter. I'll write him one back. And he goes, dear Josh, thank you for your letter. How's life treating you back in Britain, all right? Yeah, things are going well. I'm not making any videos because I can't afford the film, as you just said. But no worries. There's loads of stuff to do in 1979, so I'm not too worried about it. I'll go to the Japanese pub or whatever. And yeah, I might be in Britain in the next, like, couple years. So I'll send you a letter at some point. Yeah, cheers. Bye. He wouldn't say cheers because he's American, but... You get the point. That takes ages. And then that's 6 weeks to get my response back from the thing that he sent. Probably more if he takes, like, a week or so to write the letter out. Maybe he forgets to send it for, like, a few days because he's busy and stuff. And then, oh, shit, yeah, I've got this letter. I need to send that to take it to the post office or whatever they have in Japan. Oh, yeah, I need to take it over there. And then he sends it and then it gets all delivered all the way back. Whereas now I can just go, hey, man. And then maybe he's online now. Oh, hey, man, how's it going? Yeah, not too bad. Just out filming a video. Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm just about to go out. I'll talk to you in a few hours. Okay, cool. Beep, send. Right? We just had the whole conversation right there in the time it took me to send that. And that's cool. That's fun. That's a nice thing about the modern world, isn't it? And, yeah, maybe there's some stuff about the 70s where we don't have now that we do have now. And vice versa. Maybe there's stuff that we had in the 70s that we don't have now. And I'd like you to tell me what that stuff is, because I like to educate myself and that kind of thing. Because, as you can probably tell from this video, I don't have all the fucking answers. I don't have any of the answers. I just have questions. So, yeah, please leave your answers to these questions in the description, in the comments thing, because we can get a nice little discussion going around this, and it can be a load of fun. So, yeah, thank you very much for watching this video, everybody. Hope you have a good one, and take care. Bye-bye. Oh, Dantris Humble has responded to me. Yeah. Okay. Oh, it turns out that he's actually living in 2025 and he's just doing some videos. Cool. Well, yeah. It's a shy joke, really. All right, well. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. And today I've got some very, very sad personal news. My Dell Latitude E5470 is kaput, right? So you turn it on and nothing happens. You turn it on, nothing happens. This light might blink, but nothing happens. I've been sitting here for ages doing this, right? I took this laptop with me to France, and I was going to edit some videos out in France, and I figured that would be a fun little thing to do. But yeah, no, that seems to be out the window now. This laptop has been with me all over the place, really. I bought it 2 years ago. It was 130 quid. It was quite a good deal. It was about 130 quid, something like that. I got it on eBay, secondhand. I didn't really need much. I don't play video games or anything like that on a laptop or a computer or anything like that. I've got like an Xbox 360 that my mate Tom gave me. I don't know why he gave it to me, but thank you very much, by the way, for it. So I don't really need anything super powerful for it because, for instance, video editing doesn't really require a GPU. This doesn't really have a GPU on it. It's just got the integrated graphics on the CPU. I'm just saying words now, it feels like. And what's frustrating is this laptop has really sort of started to become useful in the past 2 months in particular. There was a point when my main PC, desktop computer, completely conked out. And it was gone for like 2 weeks. And I had videos I needed to get out. So I did a couple at the library, right? That didn't work. That was not a long-term solution. So I started using the laptop. I didn't do it originally because I thought, it's going to take ages. It's not really going to work. And it's going to be too intense for the thing to... Because I only bought it originally so that I could write scripts and stuff and so that I could store footage when we went up north to do filming. If we go up north to do filming, I wanted to be able to back it up onto something. And a laptop is... you know, the medium to get it from SD card. It had an SD card slot, which I really liked. It's got HDMI port, which I really like and appreciate. Everything's rusty on it now, I'm noticing, probably because I take it out everywhere and I don't really treat it with any kind of dignity. It's got this thing, which one time I put like a small fork into, like the prong of a fork, I put it in there and it made a spark and it melted a bit. So I thought, okay, don't do that again. That was a warning. That's not what broke it, by the way. I did that months ago. So it kept working for ages and ages and ages. And I started to realize that this actually exported my videos faster than my desktop. I built my desktop computer in 2015. And it's got, what's it got on it? It's got a Intel i5 440 processor from like 2015. It's got a Radeon R9290, and it's got a MSI P33, and then it had 16 gigs of RAM, but now it's down to 8 gigs of RAM because one of the RAM sticks is buggered. So this now literally worked better than my desktop computer ever did. And it's because of the way that technology moves. Just think of it like this. In 2015, what I got, it wasn't state-of-the-art or anything. It was probably like, you know, low to mid-tier sort of range. And this was mid to low tier sort of range for 2022 when I bought it. So it's just a bit frustrating, really, that this is gone because it didn't last very long. And I think I got £130 worth of stuff out of it. So I'll probably get another one. I don't know what to get next in terms of laptops because I realized I need a laptop. If you're going around, if you're making films and stuff, and you're like going around town, it's so useful to have a laptop just around for you. You can just whack it open in a cafe and just start writing scripts. If you're like getting footage, you can back the footage up straight away. Even if it's not got much storage on it, you can put it on the SD card and just keep an SD card in here. I just keep an SD card in here. It's just storage for one, right? So it's just a nice little place to keep things, right? And it was quite nice. It had a good screen. The screen was pretty good. It was fast. There was never any problem with it. And to be honest, I feel like if I took it to a repair shop, they might be able to do something for it, but it cost £130, and they're going to ask for like 50, 60 quid to get it fixed. So the way I see it is it's just cheaper to get a new one of the fuckers. So that's what I'm probably going to do. I'm going to buy a new, maybe not the same laptop, maybe just find whatever's cheap on eBay and try and ride that out for another couple years. Because I don't see the point of getting like, you know, like the latest MacBook or whatever. Well, one, I don't really understand the Mac interface, but I don't understand the point of getting like some mega huge laptop because I'd be carrying it around and it would freak me out. And I don't like the idea of carrying around like £8,000 worth of stuff with me or £2,000 worth of stuff with me. I mean, my phone cost £120. And the way I see it is if the phone conked out, then that's all right because it's only £120. If I had a £1,000 phone, then I've got a thing about insurance for the thing and then that's more money. And then, you know, if I lost that, it's like a whole hassle to try and get the insurance to probably give you another one and all this sort of stuff. I thought none of that's worth it, so I'll just get a cheap little phone. It does all the same things. It's got a camera, it's got apps on it, and it does the things that I need it to do. And you know what? People seem to think that these videos look all right and like there's a fairly professional setup. And you don't need the latest, greatest equipment to get any of that stuff to work. You really don't need anything to look that fancy or that brilliant. So, yeah, it's just a bit of a shame because if it had died once I was in England, that would be all right. But I'm in the middle of nowhere, right? And I can't really edit videos. I have a plan. My plan is to ask the person I'm staying with if I can just edit them on their laptop, which will probably mean I'm editing it on, like, CapCut or something like that, or Windows Movie Maker, I'm not sure what. So the color grades on these are probably a little bit worse. I'm gonna have to re-download the 4:3 bars on the side, all sorts of stuff like that. So it's gonna be a bit of a pain in the ass. So this video might look a bit different than the usual one, so I do apologize for that. The usual kind of thing is gonna come back once I'm back in England. I'm back on England on the 5th. So start to expect videos looking normal again for maybe the 6th. And I do apologize for the technical difficulties, but this is the sort of thing that's always going to happen. There's always going to be a worst case situation. Things will always go wrong. And I was thinking about this when I was going to the ferry, and I was running a little bit late for the ferry actually. And I thought, if I miss the ferry, the worst thing that happens is I need to get the next ferry, which that would cost me an extra £30. Or worst case scenario, I can't get that. Then I turn around and go home and I treat it as like a day out, right? And I thought there's not, like, I could, you know, catastrophize and sort of go, oh my God, I'm gonna be late, ah, what am I gonna do? Ah, and like start tearing my hair out and stress out about things. And I used to stress about stuff like that. And like, there's so many things that are more worth stressing about, like, you know, paying your bills on time and stuff like that. That's something that's worth tearing your hair out. But something like this, it's a little thing, you know, and it's about putting things in perspective. My laptop conking out isn't really like a big deal in the grand scheme of things because there's probably someone out there with like some way worse issue. I'm not saying that to like denigrate my own issue. I'm just sort of saying it that if we are trying to make ourselves feel better, it can help to sort of realize that there are people that are way, way worse. And I know that it doesn't work in the long term, like that sort of attitude. But if you've just got a little issue, right, it does work for that. It does help in that little way. And that's all you can really ask for, to be honest. So, you know, with this laptop, I'm going to say goodbye to it. I bought it out here. This is technically a graveyard, but I didn't want to, like, the graves are all behind the camera. I didn't want to get any graves in the shot because I don't know the laws in France. I know the laws in England and they say that I can't get names, and I thought I'm not bothering to censor out names and stuff like that. It'll look shit because it's just a like static shot. So you just have this blur there the whole time. And it would just be like, it's a bit, I don't really want to turn, you know, people's like grandparents into YouTube content. That's a bit nasty. So I thought thematically it's nice to bring it to a graveyard, but visually, nah, I don't want to put like someone's family through that. So I thought I'd just shoot this way. Plus this thing here, I don't know what it is, some kind of building, chateau. It's lovely. It's amazing looking. So yeah, what I'm planning on doing, I'm going to bring the laptop back to England and I will take it to a repair shop, see what they say about it. If they say that it's like 10, 20 quid, like a basic fix, maybe it's just the prong on here, it's just the wrong way around. I could just maybe try that myself. If they want like 100 quid for it, for fixing it, fuck that, then poof, like that. We're not doing that, okay? It's just not being done. This moustache came from a video that I did. So I just stuck it on here. I'm not someone that normally sticks things on their laptops. I don't really see the point of it. I get it's kind of like, you know, in America, they kind of, what's the word? You know, they got those like bumper stickers on their cars. I think it's like that for laptops. But you go to England, people don't really have bumper stickers. So why would I get like a bumper sticker for my laptop? So, and worst thing that happens, if I put like some kind of message on here, some little twat from across the cafe is going to sneak a little picture, send it to their friends and go, oh, look at this knobhead caring about this thing that he pretends to care about because he's stuck a label on a laptop. So you think it's like that thing of like that image of that woman who has like smashed capitalism on a laptop. It's just a fucking sticker, man. She doesn't think, like, by putting the sticker on the laptop that she's going to smash capitalism. It's just, like, you know, a representation of her personality, to be honest. It's the same way that, you know, people have posters on their walls or have paintings on their walls or, like, the type of cutlery and like, plates and cups and stuff. Some people have like more ornate looking ones. Some people just have plain ones. Some people have like more Art Deco looking houses. Some people have more 70s looking houses. Everyone's just got their own little style, you know, and that's totally fine. People are allowed to have their own little style. So I don't, and you know, it's fine to judge people for their choices and the style they have, but don't sort of take it out of context and try and make it like they're trying to say something that they're not. It's just a fucking sticker, right? The same way that this here doesn't mean that I'm like supportive of Moustaches Anonymous, right? It's just a moustache on a laptop. I just stuck it on there. That woman with the smash capitalism sticker on the laptop probably just got it for Christmas, you know, from maybe a mate or like her nan who's like, ooh, my granddaughter is into her communism. I might get her a sticker for it. And she just stuck it on to try and be nice, you know, like you don't know the story behind it. And, you know, it's fine to sort of like point and laugh. You know, like smash capitalism, that's never going to happen. But, you know, it's not like, I don't know, it just becomes then you're just taking the piss out of an individual. And I don't know, I don't really see the point of that. Like for something as minor, sticking a sticker on a laptop. And that's why I never stuck stickers on my laptop, because I didn't want that sort of thing to happen to me. Not that I was going to stick a smash capitalism sticker on it, but like, I just get random stickers. I just stick random crap on, random memorabilia from life, because you get all sorts of little tit for tat while you're walking around, like going through the years, you know. You collect stuff, and sometimes you end up having to get rid of it. I've got this like at home. I've got this tin of 50s water, like emergency, like nuclear holocaust, like water, and it's nice. But you know what? At the time, I was really into my like Fallout and the video game series and, you know, like nuclear apocalypses in general. Now I kind of don't give a shit about any of that stuff. So why have I still got the bottle of water? Should I just open it? Nah, I don't want to, because it's got that nostalgia thing to me. As in, like, I can reminisce on, you know, the times that that water came from, the nice little times I had buying the water from the Notting Hill market. It was a nice little thing. So I don't really see why I should get rid of it. But it's also not me advocating for a nuclear holocaust. And, yeah, this is a very rambly video, I know. It's hard to adjust to speaking English out in public in France. Like when I'm doing it in England, it's kind of whatever, but like because like I don't care what people think. But out here, I kind of do care what people think, so it's harder for me to do it. And I'm on a church ground, so that makes it even more difficult. I'm not asking for sympathy for that, by the way. I'm just saying it is harder to do these videos out here, so that's why they are a bit more crap. Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed the video, even though I just said it was a crap video, but you know, whatever. So I guess this is goodbye. So thank you very much for watching this. Love you all, you're all brilliant, and yeah, oh, bollocks. Maybe we'll have it up this way. Thank you very much for watching, everybody. Take care, and you're all great. And yeah, I'm gonna miss this old thing. Yeah. So, new laptop will be, I'll get a new laptop, it'll be fine, whatever. Hey up everybody, my name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles, Lessons in Confidence. Today, I don't really know what I'm gonna talk about. See, with a lot of these videos, it's a stream of conscious sort of thing. That's what these videos are. That's, if this was a trend, I think it is a trend, apparently. If it had a name, it would be stream of conscious. Oh, and just getting annoyed by things in the real world getting in the way, like that announcement. I don't even know if you can even hear it. It's just kind of ridiculous. So all of these distractions kind of come in. There's an airplane up ahead. There's that voice going on. There's the fact that I'm on a platform and like I'm filming and that's a little bit weird. And there's like a security guy that's sort of down there and he might come up and sort of say, can you please stop doing this? At which point I would obviously say, yes, of course. You know, I'm very sorry. I'll be out your hair, that kind of thing. And all of these kind of little aspects come together. The fact that it's all done in one take, blah, 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 blah. There's no jump cuts and all that sort of stuff. That makes it maybe that's where the interest sort of lies, that this is the real world up here. You can't see it really, but it's just kind of mad. Like, you know, the tension that's kind of going on is just kind of fascinating. And, you know, I want to keep doing these for as long as possible and finding new wacky, fun locations to do them in. And just seeing where the world can take us, you know, and just seeing what can happen and seeing what happens once you stand up and have a look out at the vistas that are in front of you. Because everything looks fascinating at the end of the day. Everything looks cool. If you find the right angle for it, and if you think of a reason that it's worth portraying in a film or something like that. You ever walk around and just think, God, that location would be cool, that location would be cool. I want to film there. Shut the fuck up. So you got all these places in the world, in maybe the areas that you live, you've passed that church and you think, God, that church would look really cool in the background of something. But for what reason would it be in the background of that thing? Well, there's many different options, you know. Maybe it's you want to show someone just walking in and then like you cut to a different church, or you just have them sit down somewhere and it's just black in the background. It's like they've gone to church for some reason. Maybe that's part of the story. Maybe you want to just show like, shut up. Maybe you want to do a music video and you just want to have like churchy sort of stuff because like the lyrics are about the church or whatever, you know? And so you just film a load of churches. Maybe you go into church with like a little sort of digicam kind of thing like this and you just kind of, you know, just sneakily film little bits around the church and just have a bit of fun with it. Because with this, you can film all sorts of little things, right? And like no one can really tell you what to do because it's just sort of there, you know? So I do see my train coming up, so I think I'm going to have to leave kind of early, so I apologise, this is a short one and a very rambly one, but you know, I just think they're kind of interesting, really. It doesn't look like it's stopping. Okay, so we can keep going for a little bit longer and just keep the ramble going, because this is literally a ramble one. There's nothing to this video, so if you're clicking on this looking for any kind of insight, don't bother, because this is filler content, right? And it's fine to make filler content sometimes because the point is to keep the groove going, because you're never gonna make the best thing every single time. You're never gonna top yourself every single time. And if you try to do that, you're pressuring yourself unnecessarily to do something that is just pointless, because, you know, someone might think that this is the best video that I've made, right? And I would disagree with them vehemently, but it just, oh. Okay, I need to get that one. So what's the time now? We've got like maybe 3 minutes left, something like that. How long have we got? We've got 4 minutes left of a video. So I think we've got enough time to cover this topic of like, you know, how you might start off doing something and you might put a lot of effort into it. And then it sort of slowly factorizes and becomes machine, like a conveyor belt of content. And sometimes it'll be a hit, sometimes it'll be a miss, sometimes it'll be good, sometimes it'll be bad. The Simpsons had bad episodes during their golden age, right? I don't particularly care for the quartet bloody a cappella one. I don't really care for like all the musical stuff. And season 3, I don't think is that great. It's all right. It's easily the weakest of the classic era, right, by a good margin, right, and I consider the classic era to be season 1 to season 10, right, and season 3, I think, is the worst one, bar none. And that's not to say there's not good episodes in it. I like the episode where Homer gets Lisa to do all, like, the gambling for him. That's really cool. And just things like that, you know, but they didn't hit every time. But, you know, we have this classic era of The Simpsons, and we've got plenty of episodes past the classic era that are fantastic, you know? Can these trains shut the fuck up for a second, please? Please, for God's sake. So, yeah, I just feel like maybe what's important to remember is you're making stuff, right? You're not always going to make your best stuff, but what's important is that you just make some stuff, because it's better to make bad content than it is to make no content. It's better to create than it is to not create, because even if you look back and you kind of go, I disagree with what I was trying to say there, you know, it's a perspective, and it's a perspective that's a time capsule of where you were in the world, what your mindset was at that particular time. And that on its own has worth, even if it's just to you. But if you upload it to YouTube, people might get something out of it. If you upload it to whatever, people might get a little something out of it. I don't know why I'm doing the money sign, but they might just, yeah, maybe that's a Freudian slip, but you know, people will find something out of it. People will get what they get out of what you do, because again, the death of the artist is real, and what you think of your work matters very little compared to what the audience gets from it, right? It's the same way that, like, you know, people manage to get all sorts of messages out of Fight Club, for instance. They manage to get their own takeaways from it that are quite contrary to what David Fincher's original intention with the film was. But, you know, I think that's okay, because if anything, that shows how good a film Fight Club is. I really like Fight Club. It's not one of my favorite films. It's maybe in my top, like, it's maybe like at the bottom of my top 100, like maybe 98 or something like that. It's a good film, right? But it doesn't matter what David Fincher thinks about it, because I bet now he thinks differently about Fight Club than compared to when he was making it. He probably feels like it's a different story to what he was doing, and he probably disagrees with the specifics. And my train's coming, so I need to fuck off. Thank you very much for watching this video. I love you all. You're all brilliant. Sorry this one's a total mess, but yeah, bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzers, Lessons in Confidence, and today I wanted to do another little review of the Rode SmartLav Plus. This time I wanted to do it in a much more loud public sort of space, so that you can kind of get a sense for how these things would work if you were to use these microphones in a public setting on the roadside or anything like that. So this is just a nice little way of showing. It's really windy today as well, and there's all the leaves that are kind of spiraling, like just going all over the place. Cars are driving right past, there's lorries and stuff that go past, there's like the sound from a generator way down there. I don't think that you might not even be able to hear that one. I don't know if you heard that squeak from that car there, that white Honda that's just sort of driving past. So it, even in my own ears right now, the audio doesn't sound high quality. I've not got headphones in. I just mean the audio quality of real life isn't all that great. So I think this is quite a hard sort of location to film. If you wanted to do a film like right here, you would be a little bit mad, to be honest, because all the cars going past, that would make continuity really difficult for a start. So you'd probably, like, you'd have different cars coming each time unless you did a big multi-camera setup or something like that. But so for reference, the microphone is here. It's just sort of chucked on, didn't really put much effort into it. Been moving it hither to thither because I've sort of taken coats off and put them back on and all that kind of stuff. It's quite, because it's a really loud location, so there's a lot coming through. The sweeping of the leaves across the street is quite loud, just that's coming from the wind that's moving them around. That was not me just moving on purpose, that was the wind blowing me slightly, so that should give you a bit of an idea. It's a little bit windy. I'd probably say, like, obviously the second I do that, hello birdies, the second I do this I can't tell because it stops being windy. It feels sort of like it's coming directly this way, so it's coming directly into the microphone. So let me just unplug it, and so you can kind of get a sense of what it feels like if it's being held, the wire is being rubbed against stuff. I'm just gonna sort of rub it against sort of bits of clothes inside, that kind of thing. I'm trying to find the cable on the inside of the shirt. Okay, I found it. So I'm kind of rubbing the cable slightly, just sort of just massaging the cable. And this is how it sounds. So you can get a little bit of, you know, rustle. The rustle, I feel, sounds fairly naturalistic. Even when planes go overhead, it's not really a big issue. It all kind of works itself out with this microphone. That's why I really love this microphone. 50 quid on Amazon Prime. So I would really recommend getting these microphones, particularly if you want to make videos that are kind of like this, where it's just sort of going out into the world and stuff and just filming yourself, just chatting shit, really. So yeah, it's just a very quick little video just to talk about the Rode SmartLav Plus. It hooks into your phone. So it's just being recorded into my phone. I've got a really cheap, shitty phone. So it just goes straight into that. I made the point of a cheap, shitty phone because you don't need like some high-end super phone to make this work. It's not necessarily about the internals of this. I do think that the phone compresses the audio slightly, which I actually find quite useful. I'm sure if a sound designer was watching this, they'd hear that and go, ah! Oh yeah, that was a good little test for the volume. Ah! Ooh! Hee-hoo! And now I'm going to talk a little bit quieter whilst there's cars going by so that you can get a bit of a sense for what the audio itself sounds like. Oh, they've got a Peugeot 408 now. When did that come out? Good for them. Oh, you know those cars that have those really stupid... there's one coming now. It's this Volkswagen. Look. Look at the doors on that. It's really dumb. I don't understand that. Apparently, what you have to do, you have to go to, like, say this is the door. You have to push this bit in, and then you have to pull this bit out. So you need to do two movements. That's just ridiculous. So yeah, there's a little bit of talking, a bit of variation in the volume, so you can get a sense of, you know, what it's kind of like using this microphone. And it's a nice little microphone, this. I really like it. And I want to buy some more of them. I'm going to put an Amazon affiliate link in the description. I got Amazon affiliates. So I'm gonna start putting Amazon affiliates in various things. This does not count as selling out. That's gonna come later, way down the line. I hope I'm not capable of selling out. That's maybe a topic for another day. Maybe I need to get a bit larger and like maybe get some sponsorship deals or something first for that. Cause I don't know what to do with that. Maybe I'd take them. Depends what it is, I suppose. What the money's like. So, yeah. As you can see, there is an awful lot of just stuff that's going past, you know, and other people walking through the shop. So this is a very public, very exposed location. Really not, you know, I have no control over anything around here. I don't control the traffic. I don't control the traffic lights. I don't control the people walking past. I don't control the wind. So these things are versatile and they're very capable. So I really recommend them. £50 you can get them for. They're really good. Hey, up, you all right? Just filming this video here. It's a brilliant place to do it. So yeah, thank you very much for watching, everybody. Hope you have a good rest of the day and take care. Have a good one. Oh, I'm actually gonna leave the shot going because there's a Vespa coming by. So I want you to see the Vespa. Look at that. Brilliant, isn't it? I mean, probably not a great angle for seeing it. You wanna see it from the side, really, but I'll tell you what you can get. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah, and this is what the... hang on. This is what the audio would have sounded like coming out the camera. It sounds like this. It's not great. I'll probably have to come really close. Like sort of like this. Hang on. I have to come up as sort of close as I can. So I have to talk of this. I still don't think it sounds great. It sounds a bit tinny. This is just the internal ones on the Canon C100. So, all right. I was probably out of focus for that.